Okay, we're going to just back up one line on Yud Dalet Amud Beis 14b. We're going back and forth to Machlokas Reb Yitzchak versus the Rabbanan in terms of how to darshan each psukim. We're looking how you're going to know that if a person does three averos with one woman that she gets lashed three times. So the rabbis learned from one pasuk, and Reb Yitzchak learned it from another pasuk, and and they're coming to the next section of what they want the rabbis to understand. How do they interpret their? So he picks his sister in the beginning of the pasuk is extra, and therefore he learns that if a person does three averus with one person, you get three punishments. So what do they do with the extra his sister in the beginning of the pasuk? I'm just repeating what we did the very last line last week. So they say they're going to use that for something else. Ve'idach, and they, the rabbis, what are they going to do with his sister? They're going to be boiled in it lechalek to show that you get two separate punishments. Kares for lemafatem ve'lesach. Remember, we said last time there's one pasuk. There's the pasuk. Where's the lav? No, where's the lav? The punishments of you're not allowed to make a copy of the anointing oil, and you're not allowed to smear with the anointing oil and benefit from that. And each one gets its own azhara. There's the pasuk again. It says, "Al besar adam lo yisach, you shall not smear it on your flesh. Uvamaskunto lo sasu kamo, you shall not duplicate it." Those are two lavim over there. Two separate lavim, a lav for duplicating, a lav for using it for your personal use. Kodesh hu, kodesh yelachem. So although there's two separate lavim, however, when it comes to the punishment, but it includes them under one pasuk of kares. Over here it says, ish asher yirkach kamo, v'asher yitem emen alzar. If a man compounds a replica of it, or if he places some of it of the original on himself, on a stranger, he'll incur kares. Now there it only says kares once and puts the two together. So here's the issue. You might have been misled. Since the Torah states kares only once for these true prohibitions, it could have been thought that one who violates both in a single lapse of unawareness incurs a single chatas. Remember, you might think he won. Because since it mentions kares, they're two separate lavim. But maybe if you do them both in a state of unawareness, you're only going to get one korban chatas. Therefore, it's necessary to divide them, just as it did with regard to the forbidden unions. Right? So to achieve this, the Torah added the expression achoso, the extra word achoso, to teach us that. Now, although that has nothing to do with smearing the anointing oil, although these words refers to a different matter entirely, it can be applied to these two prohibitions by means of the exegetical device known as im eino inyan. If it's unnecessary in its context, we have to find a different context where it's necessary. That is, if a scriptural expression is unnecessary to teach a particular law in its own context, we assume it is intended to teach that law in a different context. Here, this applies as follows. The word achoso, his sister, is not needed to require separate chatas in its own context of the forbidden unions, because we learned it from an extra word somewhere else, skipping the brackets. Hence, this word achoso available to require separate chatas in a different context, namely the two prohibitions pertaining to anointing oils. So therefore, that extra achoso, that's not necessary. The extra word isha, or rather achoso, is learned to teach us somewhere else where when you make the same compound and you anoint yourself in a state of an awareness that it's prohibited, you still bring two korban chatas. I might have thought not, because the kares punishment is mentioned by both in one context and not separately. So I think you'd only bring one korban chatas. So therefore, that extra word teaches you two korban chatas.
Question? Teaching two korban chatas is not necessarily teaching the on the mefatim and the
for them for that.
How is it? What's the relation of achoto to that?
It isn't. But we have nothing else to learn from it. That's what we said. Since I had nothing else to learn from it, it's got to be there for something. We have to find something else. So the rabbis say, "This is what we're going to use it for."
Right.
Yeah.
In this week's parsha, I was reading And you know, it has all the curses, right? And it's got about, if you're with your sister, the daughter of your father, the daughter of your mother. But this time it's a sister first. And now we have it repeated. So do we learn from that? Is that the warning? Is that what we learn from that?
It says
you remember, this is all the curses?
Yes.
So it's exactly the same one about the sister.
But that's a curse.
But
that's not the.
But
that's not
your sister, and it has the opposite. In the opposite order, it says your sister. She's your father's daughter, your mother's daughter.
Okay, so, I have to look at that again. But it's not nogay here because it's not in the context of the lav of the negative prohibition. It's not in the context of the punishment. It's not the punishment either. It's just telling us the curses. Cursed is the person who does this.
But each curse is a punishment.
That's not relevant to our issue of punishing people. That's all I'm saying. To punish a person, the Torah has to say, thou shalt not, and has to say, and if you do, this is the punishment. That, the curses, is a different type of discussion. It's not, I would refer you to my class last year at this time on the curses. What does it mean when someone gets a curse? That's all I'm saying. We don't learn punishments from the curses. That's a separate. It's not even a punishment.
Wouldn't you learn that a sister is either the daughter or the father, daughter or the mother? Like, because it almost makes what we discussed last week not necessary because it says it's a sister, and that's either the daughter of your father or the daughter of your mother, as opposed.
Okay, I have to look at that pasuk.
All right,
I'm just not having it. Perfectly in my.
Okay.
I'll have to look that up. Okay. So anyway, so that's what we're going to use that extra her sister to say that you get two korban chatas if you did them in a state of unawareness. So now the question is, how's Rabbi Yitzchak going to learn that halacha for these two things? Where's he going to learn it from? Ve'idach. So Rabbi Yitzchak, how does he know that for the making the anointing oil and using it in a state of unawareness that you still bring two korban chatas? So Gemara's going to give a couple answers. Either Savar, he's going to hold that he doesn't hold this problem to begin with. Savar Rabbi Elazar Amar Rabbi Hoshea. He holds a Rabbi Elazar Amar Rabbi Shuya. To Amar Rabbi Elazar Amar Rabbi Hoshea, he's just like this. He disagrees with that whole premise of why we need that extra achosa for this purpose. He says like this. Kol Malkam Shata Moitze Shnei Lavim V'Kari Sechod. Wherever you find two prohibitions, where it says, like over here, thou shalt not make the anointing oil, thou shalt not smear, that's two lavim, but only one kares, but it clearly said two distinct prohibitions, but it covers it with one kares, as we have, we already know, chalukim em l'korban, they automatically bring two separate korbanos in a state of unknowingness. He's holding, no, once the Torah gave two separate lavim, I wouldn't think that you would only get one kares for me to say otherwise. So in other words, Rabbi Shua's rule applies to any group of kares bearing prohibitions, teaching that even if they are covered by a single mention of kares as the punishment, one must bring a chatas for each prohibition he violated in a state of unawareness. Okay, that's what the general rule he says. So therefore, I don't need an extra word to tell me that you bring two separate korban chatas. But wait a minute, what about the forbidden unions? Yeah. In regard to forbidden unions, however, the Gemara derived this very law from the words of El Isha Benitas Tumasa. Hence, the verse is no longer, because we already learnt it. We already learnt it from before. How did he know? Because we had it from before. But it says by the woman to show that although there's one chatas mentioned, but you get for each and every one. We already had that. Hence, the verse is no longer required for that purpose. Rather, it's needed only in the case of one who sinned with several persons covered by the same prohibition. For example, a man could have it with five nidas, although he violated just one prohibition. Ah, that's what I needed for. For it's required him to bring five chatas. But different ones I wouldn't need it because that's already been covered. That's one answer. He says that's not a problem. Second answer, or even if you want to say that it doesn't hold of this Rebbe Elazar, and you really would need another pasuk to learn this. Even if you're going to say lo savar lo ka Rebbe Elazar, even if it doesn't hold of Rebbe Elazar and he needs a pasuk, he'll show you the pasuk. This is the pasuk. V'nafka lo, he learns it from the extra word over here. And what's over here? It says v'ish asher yishkav es isha dova. If a man cohabits with a menstruating woman, they will incur kares. Now, that is something we already know from other psukim that when a person comes upon Anita, you get kares. Here the Torah reiterates kares in regard to Anita, even though this punishment is already known from the general statement of kares made in reference to all forbidden unions. We already had one kares for all forbidden unions. We already said Anita. But Sal was talking about it's said especially by Anita where you're going to get kares. So what are you mentioning it again for? Since it mentions it again, that's going to teach me for the case of the person with the oil and all that. Oh, so now, according to the rabbis who learned the other pasuk, what are they going to do with this extra pasuk over here with the nida, the idach, and the other rabbis? How are they going to learn it? Hahumi boile, they're going to use it. Rabbi Yochanan, according to Rabbi Yochanan's statement, Damer Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Shem ben Yochai, Rabbi Shem says name Rabbi Shem bar Yochai. Now, this is a little bit tricky. I don't want to get too overly detailed over here, but for a woman to be Anita, the blood has to go through a certain part of her body. And the question is, what if the blood comes out of her, not from that certain part, from a different part of the body? So how do we know? Minai, I know Shena Isha, Tamea Achiyotza, Madve Derech Ervasa. How do you know that a woman does not become Tamez Anita unless the flow of blood goes right through the place of Ervasa, her nakedness? And in other words, specifically through the vaginal canal and that whole area, and not another area. Only when it goes through the normal passageway. What if for whatever reason, that blood that would come out for whatever reason, she had a surgery or whatever, she has a deformity, and the blood that comes out from the source doesn't go through that area, but let's say there's another opening in her body, and the blood comes from a different part, but it's the same need of blood, but it doesn't go through that canal. How do I know that she still will be Anita? Shenemar, as the pasuk says, and he now quotes this pasuk. Shenemar, Isha Asher, Isha Sheyishka Vizisha, Dava, Vegila Servasa, etc. And then you get Kares. So by saying the extra words, and he uncovers her nakedness, what do you have to say? He uncovers her nakedness. Just say he sleeps with her.
Yeah.
Plain and simple. So that's an extra words, malame, that teaches us, Shena Isha, Tamea Chiyotze Biderech, Madve Derech Ervasa, that only if the blood comes out of the normal place, and therefore that's when you become Tame, and that's what he uses that extra pasuk for. The Gemara doesn't say, what about Rabbi Yitzchak? Where's he going to learn from? Because Rabbi Yitzchak may not agree with this law. He may say that she could be a Anita no matter where the blood comes from. And that's the end of the sugya. So now you're going to get the summary. Good luck. Okay? This is the summary of the entire last week. Okay. According to Rabbi Yitzchak. Now, we got to remember. Let's go back. Yeah. Remember we said that this all started with, do we lash you for an avera that is Chayav Misa, or you get lashes? That was the original discussion.
Yeah, or you get Kares.
What did I say? No, Kares. Again, there's punishments for death, punishments for Kares.
Yes. Yeah.
Right? So we said Rabbi Shmuel says you'll get lashed for both. Rabbi Shmuel says you get lashed for either one.
Yeah.
Rabbi Akiva says only for Kares and not for death. Rabbi Yitzchak says you don't get lashed for either one. That was the original Machlokes, right? So according to Rabbi Yitzchak, Kores bearing sins are not punishable by Malkus. That was this discussion.
Yep.
What's his source? Because the reiteration of Kores in regard to incest with one sister. Remember, it was extra?
Yeah.
Why do you have to say you get Kores by a sister when there's one inclusive for all the forbidden relationships? To say that only Kores you get for this types of Avera and not lashes. And that's how he learns from that extra word. Right? Now, if one cohabited with distinct persons, even if they are covered by the same prohibition, he is liable to a chatas for each person.
Yeah.
All right? The extraneous word isha in the verse Valisha benis tumasa teaches us that. Okay? If one violated distinct prohibitions, different names, even if they're manifest in one person, He's liable for chatas for each prohibition. Yeah. Now, the rabbis derive this from the reiteration of kores regarding one's sister. But Rav Yitzchak didn't do it from there. He infers it from the word achoso, his sister, in the end of that verse. Okay, one incurs kores for cohabiting with his full sister. According to the rabbis, the source is achoso, the extra achoso at the end of the pasuk. Rabbi Yitzchak derives this either from the Torah's warning against incest with a full sister and as a kal, right, or from the word achoso in the beginning of the pasuk. Other kores bearing sins that are covered by a single reference to kores, like compounding and anointing, also carry distinct chatas obligations. The rabbis derive this from achoso, his sister, at the beginning of the verse. Rabbi Yitzchak either maintains this does not need a scriptural source or infers it from other psukim. According to the rabbis, a woman does not become tummy by blood emanating from her womb unless it exits through the normal passageway. That was the extra puzzle for them. Or Rav Yitzchak will disagree with that. And that's how we finish up this entire sugya. Done and finished. Good. Out of the frying pan, into the fire. Now we're... Now, see, it's very easy. I was trying to find online. I'm trying to save myself the work of I'm a lazy guy, but they're chateva, so I don't like to work so hard. So I try to find other people who have already done the work. So I was desperately trying to find. You really need charts and things like this. The only problem, I found one, but the problem is, it's going to be in Hebrew, so I don't know. I'll try it for a day or two. If it works, fine. If not, not. If it helps you, it helps you. If it doesn't, I won't do it. To write in English is going to take a lot of time. Anyway, we're moving on to the next sugya, which means, remember, the Mishnah listed a number of things you do that you get lashed. And we start with a whole list of kores-bearing sins, right? So what really is going to happen almost till the end of the Masecht, for the next number of pages, we're going to look at each one of these things you get lashed for or comes with kores or whatever. And we're trying to know, Bay's going to ask, okay, how do we know that it comes with kores? Where's the warning and where's the punishment? We're going to keep going back and forth. So until we're right about at the top of the page, till the bottom of the page is all this one topic. Mm-hmm. Okay, and it's going to be sort of similar analysis before. So now we're going, the Gemara returns to analyze the Mishnah. There are two cases brought in the Mishnah. Okay, see, this is where if they would have put the rest in English here, it would have made it a little more user-friendly. And the way it's, I took it off, I mean, it's for free use. You're allowed to use it. I'm not stealing anything. But it's on PDF, so I can't... edit it. So that's, so if it was a PDF, well, as a PDF, I could just edit in the English over it. So anyway. What?
If you have a PDF writer, you can.
Yeah, which costs more money, right?
I have it in the office. Whoever wants to just edit it.
Okay, we'll talk about it later. Okay, anyway, it's, the two cases are Hatame She'ochel Es HaKodesh, a person who eats holy foods, kachim, in a state of Tumah. If that guy gets lashed, even though it comes with a kores punishment. Remember, we said our Mishnah goes like Rabbi Akiva. Remember, where no death punishments were mentioned with lashes, while kores ones are mentioned with lashes. Yes. So a person who eats kachim in a holy state gets kores. So if he's warned against it, he'll get lashed. And haba el hamigdash tamei, someone who enters the Beis Hamigdash in a tamei state, gets kores, but he will get lashed if he's warned about that. The Gemara now questions, where is the azhara? Where is the warning? And the onesh for each of these cases. Remember, you have to have both for us to know that there's a lav, number one, and that it comes with a punishment of kores, that according to Rabbi Akiva, you get lashed for that. And that's going to be what's coming up over here. So we might be going back and forth. You'll tell me if it's helpful or not. That's the next Gemara that's going on, the case for Tomei She'ochel Es HaKodesh. So Gemara says, Bishlema, that's all good and well. Habol Mikdash Tomei, a person who comes into the Beis HaMikdash in Tomei state, we got no problems. Why? Because Ksiv Onesh, the punishment is stated going into the Beis HaMikdash in the Tomei state. Uksiv Asara, and the warning in the Torah has been written, so we understand why that's a case that normally comes with kores, and if you warn him, he will get lashed, because you've got the warning, and you see the punishment is kores. Now he's going to tell us what that is. This is the easy part. Onesh, the punishment, tichsiv. It says about a guy going into the base of his holy state, es mishken Hashem timei, the tabernacle of Hashem, he has contaminated, v'nich resah, and that person will be cut off from Israel. So it's talking about a person who goes into the base of Migdash in a state of tumah. Clearly it says, you get kares for that. Azhara, where's the warning? The warning says, v'lo yitamu es machaneh, you shall not contaminate their camps, where my present rests among them. Okay, that's discussing the different people. Have tzaras, corpse tuma, tuma ziva. It says you cannot go in the machane shechina. That was when we had a mishkan or we have a beis hamikdash. So we have both of them mentioned. So we got no problems with that. Clearly we got the warning and we got the punishment. We got it good. Fine. Next. Now the problems begin. Ela tamei she'ochalas hakodesh. But rather a person who's tamei, who eats holy things, which let's say a korban, it's a person eats a korban in a tamei state, or things like that. So, bishlema onesh, that's good, I know the punishment, the Torah clearly says the punishment, where it says, v'hanefesh asher tochal bosor, a person who eats flesh, mizeva hashlamim, from a korban shlamim, Asher Lashem, which is to Hashem, here's the critical word, v'tumaso all love, and he's in a state of tuma, v'nichrasa, and he gets kares. That's pretty clear. Okay, now, but the problem is, ela azhara minayim, but where is the warning? The rabbis went through the Chumash backwards and forwards. They do not see black and white where it says, thou shalt not eat kachim in a tamei state. There is no pasuk that says it. You cannot eat a korban shlamim, for example, in a tamei state. That's not there. And we've already learned that a punishable offense requires two verses. One warning against the offense and one stating the punishment. A scriptural warning is likewise required to administer, here's the point, that's no guess, to administer lashes. Remember, we're talking about these are the ones that get lashed. A list, a whole bunch of them. And one of them is a guy who eats kachim in a tummy state gets lashed. You cannot get lashed if there's no lav. You can't get kare. You can't get anything. So forget about the kares. We're not worried about that right now. Our mission is saying you get lashed for eating kachim in a tummy state. But where's the warning for that? Simply understood, the Gemara is inquiring after the source of the warning necessary for both Kares and Malkus, really. However, according to those who hold that Kares needs no warning, remember we in the give and take we said before that Kares needs no warning, so maybe that wouldn't be a question for Kares. But clearly in our Mishnah that says you do get lashed, you for sure need a warning for that. That has nothing to discuss. Okay, then there's a whole Rashi over there, which we're not going to go there. Okay, anyway, but that is the question, and that's how I see it over here. Here it gives you the two psukim for the guy who enters the Beis Hamikdash. There's the first one is the warning, and the second one, the punishment, the second one is the warning. And now the question is, the person who eats Kodesh, there it has the punishment, Elo Asari Minayim, but where is the warning? That we do not have. Okay, that's about the end of the easy Gemara. Now you got to just, as they say, halt kop. Okay, it's going to be Machlokes, Reish Lakish, and Rabbi Yochanan. Basically, the entire Machlokes is, at the end of the day, what's the source? They all agree there is a source. They all agree the Mishnah says you get lashed. So there has to be a source. The only problem is, if it's not so clear, we have to go this way to find the source. And as you're going to see right away, right when I'm going to bring this pasuk, you're going to jump and say, what kind of source is that? That's not saying it at all. All right? And the Gemara will get to that a little bit later, but that's the issue over here. So it's a machlokas, Reish Lakish, and Rabbi Yochanan. What is exactly the source for the thou shalt not for a person who eats kachim? That's what we're trying to find over here. Reish Lakish Omer. Reish Lakish says, it says over here, Bechol Kodesh Lo Tiga. You shall not touch any sacred food. Let's take a look at the pasuk. It says, this is talking about a woman who's tamei later. She gave birth to a child, has a tumah. That's one of many people who are tamei who cannot eat kachim. She can't eat korbanos, any of that stuff. So what does she have to do? Ushloshim yom, ushloshes yomim teshev bidmei tara. For 33 days, she stays in the state of tahara. What that means is not that she's tahara. Remember we said she has 7 days, after you have a baby girl, 7 days she's tmeya, right? And then she has any blood for those first 7 days, she's tmeya. Then she can go to the mikvah, but then the next 33 days, if she sees anything, that blood does not make her tamei. But this is the problem. Bechol kodesh lo tigah. She cannot touch anything holy until the 40th day she brings a korban. That's the words we're worried about over here. Bechol kodesh lo tigah. She can't touch any holy objects, meaning korbanos. She can't come into the Beis HaMikdash ad malos shemetar, and she finishes those 40 days, then she can go to the Beis HaMikdash, and then she's allowed to do that. So that's the pasuk. So what's the pasuk talking about? What's prohibited for her to do what? Touch kachim. Now what were we looking for?
Eating.
That's going to be the problem. That's going
to. You can't eat without touching.
Okay, but you can't
touch without eating.
You can't touch without eating, and you can eat without touching. A Torah person puts it in your mouth and feeds you.
Still touching your tongue?
No, that's not called touching. Touching is always considered with your hand. If you open your mouth wide, and you put it right in, you're not touching it. Well, sort of, yeah.
Well, but
okay, but you don't have to have one without one. Could be without the other.
You know, one of your fingers. Okay.
Yeah. So but we don't have an. I didn't explain the answer yet. But go ahead.
So if a daughter is born, like if a girl is born, then it is 80 days, right? Not 40 days.
I'm sorry, I meant a boy. Did I say a girl or boy? It was a boy.
A girl.
Sorry,
a boy,
when a boy, it's 7 and 33. Yeah. A girl is 14 and 6. Thank you. Yeah. Okay, so now. The verse speaks of a woman undergoing her period of tumah after childbirth in which she may not partake of sacrificial food. Now it says she may not touch. Although the verse speaks of touching, not eating, Reish Lakish expounds it as a reference to eating as the Gemara will explain below. So that's where you got to have patience and wait to see how from touching they get to eating. So that's a problem. Okay? We just put it to the side. That's Reish Lakish. He says this is the Pasuk. This is one person who is Tameh. We don't have to say each. Once you have one example, then it applies to anybody who's Tameh. Although it says touching, he's going to explain that the touching means eating, and you just have to trust us till we come. Not because you have to eat it by touching it, but we'll see how he does that. That's Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan Omer, Rabbi Yochanan says, Tani Bartola. Bartola taught. That's the name of a person. Bartola taught. Now he's going to make an interesting
Zayr. Was a rabbi?
Was a rabbi. Well, his name was Bartola. His name was Bartola. The famous Abba Coin Bartola. Whatever. Anyway, Bartola, a person, whatever, that's his name. He makes Exereshava Asya Tumaso Tumaso. He makes Exereshava from the word Tumaso in one place to Tumaso in another place, and from that he's going to see that if you eat kachim, you get that is the warning, even though the warning's not stated. Let's see what's going on over here. Ksiv hach, it says over here about the person, the tamei person who eats sacrificial food and the punishment of kares. Remember, we have the punishment of kares, we don't have the warning. So ksiv hach, it says by the person who eats the sacrificial food, it says v'tumaso alav, and the tumah is upon him, he will be cut off. So you have the words v'tumaso alav. Let's look again at this pasuk. V'anefesh asher tochal basar mizevach hashlam asher l'Hashem v'tumaso alav v'nichas anefesh. Now v'tumaso alav is a little bit unusual. It could have just said v'hatomei nefesh. It could be a person who's tummy. Now, there's a lot of ways you could say a guy's tummy in a pasuk. You could do it in the most concise way. You could say, v'hanefesh ha-tummy. A soul who is tummy. That's only using one word, right? Nefesh ha-tummy. But what did I put over it? What did it put there? V'tumaso olav. And the tumah is upon him. Why do you gotta say it's upon him? Just say he's tummy.
Yeah.
Now, how could I have done that if I would have taken out those two words, v'tumas of love, and say v'hanefesh hatamei,
yeah,
and then just continue writing?
Right.
Asher tol gets. Why does a tumas of love? That's extra. That's extra. And we're gonna find that's by eating kachim, you get kares. Okay, now. And it says, Uksiv Hasam, now it talks about the person who enters the Beis HaMikdash in a state of Tumah, where we have the warning and we have the punishment, right? And what does it say over there? It says also, Tamei Yiyeh Od Tumah Sabah. He shall be Tamei. His Tamei is still in him. Okay, that's the end of the pasuk that teaches the punishment of one who enters while contaminated with corpse tumah. Let's take a look at the whole pasuk. Kalanogea b'meis b'nefesh ha'adam asher yomu. Someone who touches a corpse. V'lo yischatan. He hasn't gone to the mikveh yet. So, okay, clearly guy's tameh?
Yeah.
Clear. Do you have any doubt the guy's tameh?
No.
Esmit. Now what happens? So now... As Mishkan Hashem Timei, the Mishkan he was Mitama by going into the Mishkan. The Nichrasa Nefesh Hahimi Israel, he should be cut off. Why? He may need a lo zorakala because the waters of the Paraduma have not been sprinkled upon him. Tameiya, he shall be Tamei O Tumasobo. His Tuma is still upon him. A lot of extra words over there, wouldn't you say? But what do you see clear? Especially those words, Tumas Sabah, there's a lot of extra words. But especially those last two words, right? Tumas Sabah, the Tumas still upon him. Well, obviously the Tumas still upon him. We already said he didn't sprinkle himself. We already said it twice he didn't sprinkle himself. I got a lot of extra words over here. But and the Gemara can discuss a lot of the extra words. We're going to just discuss two of them. The last words, Tumas Sabah. Tumas Sabah. Now this is by Kares. Tumasabo, right? Also, we know this one has a lav, clearly has a lav. So what do we see? We see the fellow who eats the truma, this is entering.
Yes.
Right? But we said the guy who eats it, yes, it's had those extra words, Tumasabo.
Yeah.
So what do we know? We know for sure a person who enters in the basement, there is a warning.
Yeah.
There's the punishment right here.
Right. Yeah.
Clear. And that extra word, Tumasabo. Now, the guy who eats kachim, it says the punishment. Kares, it also says the word Tumasabo.
Right.
Why do I got Tumasabo both by the guy eating and by the guy who enters to say there's a similarity? And what's that? That even though I don't have an explicit pasuk that says thou shalt not eat it, but it tells me, well, just like the one by entering has a thou shalt not eat it, must be this one also has a thou shalt not eat it, even though it wasn't expressly stated. And that's what the Gemara is going to answer. Malahalan, just like over there, the person who enters into the Beis HaMikdash, there's the Onesh, is clearly a punishment, Vashara, and the Lav is written.
Yeah.
So we're going to say the same thing, Afkan, by eating Onesh Vashara, we're going to say, although there's only a pasuk that says about the punishment, but we assume that there's a warning because the Xeris Shava says there's a warning over there as well. So this becomes the Machlokes, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. The first rabbi says, well, I have this pasuk that says you can't touch it. Well, can't touch it. Somehow he's going to learn it means you can't eat it. Thou shalt not touch it. Somehow means thou shalt not eat it. The other rabbi says, no, I have it from the fact that I got Xeris Shava Tumasabo. What's going to happen tomorrow? We're going to say, why did this rabbi not like his drasha? And why did this rabbi not like his drasha? And that becomes the discussion tomorrow. And that's the little chart that summarizes things that we'll take a look at that maybe tomorrow. Okay, good. We got the play.